Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
When you think about this, you know, it's just the world is being organized. You know, for this is not a weird, freaky thing. It's being organized. There is a book called Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. And it's something that's been around since Lucifer organized a third of the angels against God and God cast them out. It's nothing new, but it was put down. And some of the ones, we have a letter. I have a letter in my office that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was mentored, and so was President Barack Obama. You know, obviously they weren't in the offices then. They were mentored by Saul Alinsky. This is tactics that they understand and how to be able to, you have to create some problems and some friction and that type of thing to cause people to pay attention and to organize around. When you start hearing things about global warming and what's taking place, and you're thinking, like, it's freezing, the snow's coming down.
Right.
But it says very specifically in one of the rules for radicals that if you can organize around something that everybody can agree on, such as pollution.
Climate change.
Well, this pollution is what it actually says in his book. And so now you're looking at climate change. So people are just jumping on, hey, we can agree with that. We can unify with that. And so, and it's like, it's first of all, I don't even know the science in it, but we have people on both sides of it, but more people are saying that it's not true or not. But either way, you don't organize around Lucifer, you know, to be able to, you just let the world go, you know.
That's right.
Get cold or get hot. But it's literally being organized. And I think about this. I think about, you know, somebody like George Soros, and you start thinking about how people can make money off the crashings of economies, mm-hmm. because he made money when reports are, you know, he made money in some way when countries, like their dollar or their currency crashes. I don't know how that all works, but people can actually take your country down and make money from the whole experience, mm-hmm. and then come back up again and be able to, now they actually, in rebooting, getting right into what we were going to talk about next is Cloward and Piven. Now, Cloward and Piven is a couple that in the 60s, they wrote a book and some understanding about it. And there's an article right here on The Blaze talking about it. And they're basically saying the only people, there's a joke going on, and the only people that don't know that they're the butt of the joke is America, mm-hmm. you know? And that when you're looking at the borders being overrun, you're looking at, and it was just said, by the way, in a previous program that the president's budget was $4 billion. It's actually $4 trillion. He presented a $4 trillion budget to Congress. If you add up all the presidents from George Washington all the way up to George W. Bush, which was the president right before current President Obama, you put all their budgets together, and we're talking about World War I, World War II, we're talking about the wars that happened during George W. Bush's presidency, and you compare it to how much money has been spent and budgeted just during the 6 years of our current president, he actually has spent more money than all those presidents added up together. That's what the report's right now. And it's like, that's part of Cloward and Piven. Part of Cloward and Piven is this, that if you overrun the system, I mean, you think about it. If you got $1,000 in your checking account and your rent and your power and your groceries and everything is $2,000, that's called overrunning your system. And you know what happens? You get thrown out of your house, you get your car taken away, and you don't have any food. Mm-hmm. And so what their theory was in Cloward and Piven, and this is, you're looking at, you know, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was right in the middle of those 60s organized movement and all these things that took place during that time. President Barack Obama, you know, then Barack Obama was part, he's a community organizer working on these type of kind of tactics. And, you know, if you know, what is your end goal? What is the end game here? And if the end game is not a nation under God who acknowledges God and all the rights come from God, it's not a good thing. And that's why we always talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because he is a great role model for Christians.
He got it.
Because he is someone who stayed loyal to God. I mean, we all sin, we all make error. I mean, read the Bible, you know, you find out about that. But he was just stood up and said, this is the right thing to do. And then he said about the country, he said, I'm only holding you to the Constitution. I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. So he stayed under the law of the land. He also stayed under the law of God. And in that, one man impacted an entire nation, and thank God, you know, that he did, because major injustices, you know, significantly changed, and they're still changing as we speak right now. But understand this, that so what Cloward and Piven thought was, if we just get everybody on welfare, if we put everybody on some sort of subsidy, and you think about how many subsidies has come out, you know, during this time of the presidency, that it is, and when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about it, but you hear this word like entitlements, and you hear words like subsidies, and you hear like, you know, cut a check. Yeah, let's just, you know, let's buy back clunkers. Let's, you know, buy solar companies. Let's invest in that. Let's invest in battery cars, windmills. Let's just throw money in the wind. You know, let's just send money to a former government, you know, Morsi's government in Egypt, who was persecuting Israel. Let's just write them a check for $100 million, whatever it was. And it's just like spend. $4 trillion budget. What's going on right here? I believe, personally, it looks like to me, and according to this particular journalist we're going to talk about in just a moment, that this is Cloward and Piven. And the end result of it is not good if we don't wake up.
And, you know, you're seeing this article. This article is by
Wayne
Root, and a writer, I believe, in The Blaze, but at least that's where the source of it came from. And when you look at the Cloward and Piven model about overriding the system, you know, once we spend beyond ourselves, and I got this, I mean, I can't wait to talk about this. It's going to obviously not be today. But this book, how do you pronounce his last name again?
It is Katusa.
Katusa. We're looking forward to, Maren Katusa's book from Canada that we had talked about this before. And he writes about this. This is about the Colder War, because if you don't know this, probably you might not know it depending on what age you are. The Cold War was about, a war that happened with Russia and its walls before Russia fell. And it's still going. As a matter of fact, the bear is rising up today, and these things are going on. But he talks about in here about overspending. You know, what does the post-America look like in regards to the dollar no longer having its value? And when you see how it's almost like Vladimir and the more flexible President Barack Obama,
right?
Even though they might not be communicating, it's like y'all are moving in the same direction.
Oh yeah, they're sending messages.
They're sending. I guess I don't know. I have no record of that. Wow. But
he would transmit to Vladimir.
I remember that. He says I'll have more after the election and be able to talk about that. But in here he talks about this very specific America, you know, beyond it, and he's saying America has overspent more than we have, and we did it because of the fact that we're printing the money and people have to buy our dollars before they buy oil, but things are shifting as we speak. China and Japan, the reports are they've already developed an exchange where you can buy oil Japan and China. Yes, Japan and China. I'm sure Russia is going to be right in that mix, and that you don't have to convert it to dollars. You always wonder, you know, when one of these dictators get arrested, they have like big stacks of dollars.
American dollars, right?
Yeah, but you know, I found out, you know, the reason why they did is because you have to, if you're going to buy anything in regards to oil, you're going to have to buy it in American dollars. Hmm. And so what happens is if that goes away, and he's saying that America has spent, and it's going to be that, you know, it's all going to come to a head, and people are going to no longer have confidence in America. This is a safe place anymore. And in that, they're going to start withdrawing their and overnight, mind you. And with this overspending and what's taking place, and our borders are being flooded. And this is what he says. He says in his article right here that Root talks about. He says that this everyday occurrence on our borders, where people are coming in, you got to see this. This is somebody who doesn't live in our country. This has a shirt on, you know, and his hero is our president. He's coming right here. This has President Obama's name, Obama, on the back of his shirt. You can see it probably in just a moment. It'll come up. And he's standing there in regards to with a border agent going through the process that you do when you're illegal. And we're actually registering these folks, the reports are, and we're losing them in our country. And this man right here talks about that, you know, I am Barack Obama's classmate at Columbia University in the class of 1983. This man, this article is talking about, and we were taught a plan back then to collapse the U.S. economy and destroy its country. That's what he talks about. It was called Cloward and Piven, named after a husband and wife professor team in Columbia. So it's Columbia. The Cloward and Piven plan involved using spending, entitlements, debt, and crisis. Think about that. So this is what's going on right now.
Exactly.
Debt and crisis to overwhelm the system, to distract and overwhelm the citizens and cause the collapse of America. And at that point, the people would be on their knees begging for big government to save them from drowning. They'd be willing to accept socialist nanny state without argument or debate under duress. And you think about it. This is the whole thing. This is the whole thing that's going on. It's like, and you think, you want to think, you know, you always want to be naive and go, people won't do that.
No.
And, you know, I remember, I'll never forget this. I'm like, this one particular, you know, person, and he was really involved in the faith movement. You know, God will provide. You just got to speak the words. You got to do whatever. And a storm hit. And when a storm hit, or a hurricane hit, this person calls me from where he was at. And he said, hey, man, I'm over here in this food line. I'm like, food line? You just told me that you can trust God for everything. And he's like, man, I got you a place. Come up in this food line. And it's like, if you would have listened to God, you would have been prepared.
That's right.
And it's like, no matter what people are saying, when tragedy hits, when crisis hits, we find out who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, you know what? Today you can decide who that's going to be. You can decide today. So you know what? I can see this thing on the horizon. We're spending more. We're a $4 trillion deficit. I think providing health care for every American is a wonderful thing. I think giving a nice Rolls Royce to everybody in America is a wonderful thing. But the thing about it is, you first got to find out if you have money to buy a Rolls Royce. You got to find out how you're doing what you're doing.
Isn't that how most Americans decide whether they can pay for something or not? You got to find out how much you actually have before you can actually spend it.
We wouldn't have had a Chuck roast the other day. We would actually have had a better,
right? Exactly.
It would not be the thing at the beat up or whatever. But it's just, you know, there's just, and this classmate is, we'll make this article available to you on the VFN Torch, but he was President Barack Obama's classmate, he says, in Columbia University, the class of 1983. And we were taught, listen to this, we were taught a plan back then to collapse the U.S. economy and destroy this country. It's called Cloward and Piven, named after a couple. Couple that actually came, they were professors. We have more professors right now. Listen, you know, why send your kid to an organization that's going to turn them against you, turn them against God, and turn them against this country? Is that not, you got to check yourself and say, am I doing that because I want them out of the house? Get them a job.
Right.
Kick them out of the house. It's better than paying for them to be trained up to be against this country and against God. And understanding that this is where this thing was learned, at Columbia University. And you think about Columbia, it's right in the heart. You know where District of Columbia is, right?
Yeah, I know where District of Columbia is, yeah.
And
Columbia University is in New York, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Study that one out. So when you think about this, that we're cranking up right now towards the cloud and blue. They found out you couldn't collapse the system because America was strong enough. The middle class was real strong. And the middle class was the issue. If you read about Cloward and Piven, in some of the books they talk about, what they ran into, the middle class is so successful. It's so stable. It's so financially able that there's not enough people who are struggling financially to collapse the system.
Right.
In other words, there's enough money for everybody being taken care of, but if you want to kill the system and collapse it, they had to find out how to come into the middle class, how to be able to deal, you know, with the middle class.
And I believe that Wayne writes about this in the book. The book's entitled "The Murder of the Middle Class," and begins to talk about this. I guess the strategy.
There you go.
Towards it.
That's the whole thing, because Cloud and Plibin does not work unless you do take down the middle class. And think about this, middle class America. I mean, think about this. If you're the middle class and you don't want to be poor, and you don't want your money to lose its value, and you don't want to, you know, be economically and socially murdered like he's talking about in his book, then we have to wake up. And part of that is saying, you know what? This is all-out right attack on America and everything that America stands for. And then we got to back up and say, but you know what? It was founded on God.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded, even though it's flawed men, it was founded. People were looking for a place to worship where they could worship God and not be persecuted, and they came to this land. What was the name of the movie that the actor put together? We'll think about that movie. We have that available to you on the VFN Torch. It's very good, kind of explaining the story right there. But when they came.
Monumental.
Yeah, Monumental. You got to see that
Kirk Cameron.
By Kirk Cameron. Monumental. Make that available to our viewers out there. But and begin to understand our history. And they were just trying to find a place. And then America, how do we get here and how do we stay here? There's a two-part series. You got to hear that, because what happened was that the Word of God, scriptures, were held by the church of that day, and they didn't think anybody should have the scriptures, so nobody could have the scriptures. So you had people like Tyndale, and you had people like Wycliffe, who began to transcribe the Bible so the common plowman could understand it. Well, this was such an evil thing in the eyes of the church that they've killed these guys. You know, one of them they killed, another one they dug him out of his grave, burned his body, his ashes, and the papers that he'd done, and scattered them on the River Swift. This is available to you right now on the VFN Torch. It's a series. It's called America, How We Got Here, How We Stay Here. It's a two-part series. You need to hear that, and you'll find out it's because man became aware of God, the God of the Bible. They understood that God's Word is, once they begin to read Bibles and read what God said, they realized God loved them personally, and they could worship God personally. You didn't have to do that through a man. And this actually put fear in the people who were trying to control folks, you know, in the context of that. It drove them to America and brought about all these different, you know, you hear about the King James 1611 Bible and other interpretations that came out, the translations, not interpretations, other translations since then, but it began with, you know, King James and all that. We talk about all that, how that came to pass. And this was so instrumental, because when the Word of God got into the hands of men, then the God of the Bible got into the hearts of men. And understand what you're seeing is they're saying, you know what? We just want to take God out of the hearts of men. We want to take God out of America. We want to take God out of the school. And the reverse is taking place right now. And 80%, John, according to George Barna, 81% of self-professing Christians don't even pick up their Bibles at all. Bibles that people got burned at a stake for doing this. I mean, King James' mother got beheaded by Queen Elizabeth. You know, terrible things happen for people to be able to get the Word of God in their hands, and we won't even pick it up. We won't even pick it up. And it's time for us, you know what? When they picked the Bible up and began to read it, the God of the Bible became the God of their hearts. And that America, long story short, became a nation.
Yeah.
And of all the things they could have done, they said, this is going to be one nation under God. And when you're one nation under God, you don't need a king. You don't have to have a tyrannical leader when you're one nation under God, because now you have values, you have a God that's leading you, you have the fear of the Lord. And what happened in the context of that, when you read it, we're one nation under God. Israel was one nation under God. They were walking through the wilderness. They were walking with God. And all of a sudden, they began to look at all these socialistic, tyrannical other governments that had kings. And they said, we're not satisfied with being one nation under God. This is what they said.
Yeah.
We want a king like everyone else. And all of a sudden, God said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. He told them that you're rejecting me. You're not rejecting, you know, the prophet that's telling you that. And he gave them King Saul. And when he gave them King Saul, he told them, you're going to be under tyrannical leadership. He's going to take your best of everything. He's going to tax you high. But if that's what you want, that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And they said, give us a king. And at that point, Israel went from one nation under God to one nation under a king who was under God. And all of a sudden, you had to work through a king in the context of that. Well, right now, America, believe it or not, we are one nation under God. That's how we were formed. Israel, when Israel came back to God to be one nation under God, it was our president, it was President Harry Truman that signed the papers, who learned on his mother's knee that this was, you bless Israel, you get blessed, stand with Israel. And we said that he said, we'll back this with the force of America, that they're going to be a nation.
That's right.
And so we became one nation under God. They came back to being one nation under God in the context of that. And now are we going to lose our purpose now? Is that it? Or are we going to say, you know what? We don't need a king.
Yeah. And countries have destinies. What's America's destiny is to bring the gospel to the nations of the world.
Yes.
And we're on the verge of losing that.
Yes. Yes. And we get back from the break. We're going to talk about this more. But understand that we got to wake up. History is today. And our future is today. Today, we can determine what's going to happen in our destiny if we'll just arise and quit saying, where's the person who's going to do that? Who's going to be the man that does that? Who's going to be the woman to do that? You are. We are. We can do this thing together. If God is with you, who can be against you?
That's right.
But we got to rise up and begin to take back these seven mountains of culture. You know, I just can't help but go back to The Cold War by Maren Kutusa. And I was just reading, we're talking about this, you know, Cloward and Piven and the things that are taking place. And he's talking about, you know, hegemony. When you hear the word hegemony, we have a whole segment called Hegemony Crickets. And that word just really is foreign to us. If you hear somebody saying people want to rule the world, that's the same thing. Being, you know, taking hegemony. What you want, what the people who are involved in this caliphate, they want hegemony. They want to be the total ruler of the world.
World domination.
Yeah, Hitler wanted the hegemony. It's what he wanted. But what he talks about in this book back in 1973, you know, called The Cold War, that he talks about how in 1973 just a decision was made in regards to with oil and the stability of America, you know, prior to that coming out of World War One, people began to see that, hey, America was a better investment, a place to keep your money, mm-hmm. money safe because countries were losing their gold and everything. So they started migrating their gold to America. In World War II, of course, you know, Great Britain and all the France and everybody got, you know, bombarded and we helped rebuild them. And so they began to say, you know, Great Britain was the place to keep your money at that point. But they overextended themselves. They overspent. They did all these different things. World War II happened. And guess what? Everything shifted to America. People just in their own heart said, you know, America's the best place to keep your gold. Hence Fort Knox. Well, Germany asked for their gold back, you know, recently. And they said, could you give us 7 years to get it back to you? It's like, what happened to the gold?
Right.
You know, our congressmen and senators, they should be able to go see this and expect that anytime. But anyway, so in 1973, it was a decision was made that, you know, we'll just base the money on the dollar. You know, we'll base it on the dollar, that oil. And we'll base the oil value on the dollar, not the krona, not these other rubies and things mm-hmm. that are out there, because that's the most stable particular thing. And so right now, price of oil and the dollar go together. I think they're selling a barrel of oil for a dime now. Right now, what was it? It's like $40 a barrel. And people go, this is so good. This is so, I mean, it's just like, it's just, as long as it's a good deal,
they don't care what's happening. It doesn't matter.
Listen, if you're getting cotton for 10 cents a barrel, 10 cents a bundle, somebody actually farmed that cotton.
That's right.
For free. That's what happened in America. The slavery that took place in America, the reason why the world got all this great deal for cotton is because people weren't being paid for their labors to be able to deal with the cotton.
Yeah. I mean, they had cotton on their backs made off the backs of slaves.
That's exactly it. And so when we're getting some deal on some particular product, we got to ask ourselves as Christians, is this being built on the back of someone else in the world being enslaved to give us a good deal?
Yeah.
And for some reason, human nature has been that, hey, it's a good deal, let's just let it happen or whatever. And it's like, that's what happened for slavery in America. And right now, some potentially, when you're thinking about India, when you're thinking about China, and how, you know, we're getting products, is how could you get a product for this? Is somebody not being paid? Well, right now, he's stating in his book, in this Cold War, he's saying that's happening because of the hegemony of the dollar. So the world rule of the dollar. In other words, if you own all the money and everybody has mm-hmm. to turn their money into your money before you buy something, then that's like your dollar has the world rule. And so you can be arrogant. You cannot think about how people are being treated. When a company like Apple, you know, makes $18 billion in one quarter, the biggest earnings in the history of the world.
Apple is worth more than Russia's entire stock exchange.
And you think about that. And so it's like, okay, well, that's cool. If you made $18 billion, did you just park that in your, you know, Park Place bank? Or did you say, you know what, let's go back and check our company and make sure everybody that's touching this product is getting paid because we've got mm-hmm. $18 billion to pay them now.
Right.
And that's not the practices quite often. And in the Christian business, you know, we have to really think all these things through and how we're doing those things. So the hegemony of the dollar is what he talks about. You think about that, the hegemony of the dollar. And so he's talking about how we've overspent, how we have done that because of, you know, our arrogance, because we could. Mm-hmm. You know, and the politicians, they just get to Washington and they start thinking, we don't have to tax anybody. We can just print more money. But doing that devalues, it changes the oil, it changes all these different things going on. He writes that Russia and China have already worked out a deal right now where they're going to begin to be able to do an exchange, their money versus the dollar. You don't have to actually convert it into the dollar anymore. But the ultimate thing he's saying is, what does the world look like for America if, in fact, we lose the hegemony of the dollar?
Losing dollar ruling everything.
Right. And so, if, for example, if somebody has to take rubies, that's a currency that they have, and they want to buy, you know, a barrel of oil. And for us, it's $46 a barrel right now. And for them, it could take 10, 20, 30,000 rubies, you know, whatever the values are, for what we only pay $46 for. In other words, they have to give up value. They have to live in smaller houses. They have to not drive cars, possibly. They have to live a deprived life because we decided with our hegemony of the dollar that that's what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot turn our back on God and treat the world like this and think that we're not going to have some serious stuff go down. And so we've been, so overnight, when you hear things like the president says there needs to be a transference of wealth, you know, if that's how we're treating the world, think about it. And you understand how God thinks. Hmm. God, by the way, God loves every human being on the face of the earth. And he thinks and died for every human being on the face of the earth. And he wants every man to be saved, just in case you didn't know that. Some people go, you know, God bless America, but no other nation. It's like, no, he wants...
It's the world. We're global Christians. We're global Christians.
Right, right. And so in that we are really close. It looks like the I mean, this is what Robinson said out of Texas. He said, you know, either humble yourself or be humiliated. James Robinson. Either humble yourself or be humiliated. And it looks like the second is going to be happening. And the end result's the same, and we're going to be humble. But with that, we got to say, you know what? What's going on? What's taking place, right? And I just want to encourage you, you know, as we're coming, you know, we want to stir you, because I believe that if we hear this and we see this and we realize, God, I've sinned. I've always ran for the deal. I never thought about who made this. I never was concerned about it. And if you have a 401k retirement plan, there's a portfolio right there with some of those companies that you're getting your money in. You got to check that out and make sure there's no slave labor in there.
We've been worshiping the dollar. Just reminds me of the vision that God gave me. I was in going to work in this vision, and as I was passing, you know, my coworkers, my colleagues, I saw that they were surrounded by a television screen. And they were watching breaking news. And it's not like breaking news today where they typically tell you five times what they're about to break. This was a time pass, if you will. And there was a reporter standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And what I noticed was that no one was trading stocks. All the stockbrokers were surrounding this reporter with a blue coat. And he says, when we get back, we're going to share this breaking news. When we get back, I don't want you to panic. And when he said that, I already knew, because God had already been speaking to us. I knew what he was about to share. So I went to get prepared, to get my things, to get ready to leave, because I knew that pandemonium was about to break loose. As I'm walking past the crowd again, he begins to deliver the breaking news. And what he shares is that in 6 minutes, the world
is
going
to end.
He's
standing in front of the stock exchange when saying that.
On the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, in 6 minutes, the world's going to be over as we know it.
As it is, it's going to be over. Not the end of the world.
Right, right. And pandemonium broke loose. People were just screaming. And at that particular time, I was saying, go to VFN TV. Go. We've spoke about this. And if you know the number six, you know, prophetically means idol. And you know,
I want to pray. I want to pray before we close. Lord, we just ask you right now. Just pray with us right now. Pray with us right now. Father God, we just ask you that you would stop this storm. That you would save our economy. Lord, forgive us for the misuse of the dollar. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, forgive our sin, and send revival. And I pray that our listeners right now, that you would comfort them, that you would speak to them, Father God, in dreams and visions. Father God, we have hope because you are stronger and more mighty than anything the enemy can do. And we turn to you as our Lord and Savior and say, come, Lord Jesus, come.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.